So I prayed yesterday that the message would be clear, right? And this would be the right message. And I'm going to spend a little time today talking to you about this woman that was in my life, and her name's Betty. And I would say an hour after I prayed that prayer, Betty on Facebook, just randomly, I haven't talked to Betty in a little while, but just on Facebook, put out a prayer for, she considers me and Carolyn her children. We're her children that are married to each other, which is kind of funny in some ways. So, she introduces us as her daughter, Carolyn, and her son, Roland, who are married. And she's got three other kids. I grew up with those kids. But anyway, she posted on Facebook a prayer for all her children, Carolyn and I included, which was, I was like, I don't know, the coincidence? I don't know. I don't think so. And then this morning I'm driving to church and I've got Christian radio on and there's a brand new song. I've never heard it before. It's by Big Daddy Weave, and it basically, my message, kind of introduced that message, and I'm like, again, God, where is this answer to prayer, right, coming in? And so the lyrics actually go, if you ask me how I trust him, I've seen too much. And I'm going to share with you a little bit about some of those stories that I've had in my life that really relate to seeing God in answer to prayer and that kind of thing. So I hope that kind of summarizes a little bit. I know it makes me feel better knowing that God's hearing me and giving me some of these answers. And maybe this is the message that God wants me to deliver, because I do feel like he gives me these messages. So last week, Scott, his last point, he was talking about the healed man's transformation. And he basically stated, and we wrote on our little bulletins, he said he couldn't keep it to himself. He shared what Jesus did. When God changes your life, your story matters. And so I want to talk to you again today a little bit about how some prayers have changed my life. Not only prayers I've prayed, but prayers other people have prayed for me. How I can see, I see those things now. And I don't think I saw those until I was saved and until I realized how to pray. And we'll talk a little bit at the end about, you know, how we should be praying and that kind of thing. But, I said last time I spoke, I was talking a little bit about the Sermon on the Mount and how it really relates to recovery. I told you guys that I meet weekly with my friend Craig online, and we've been going through this book by Emmett Fox, The Sermon on the Mount, and kind of studying it and what it says. And I think last time I talked about like the first four or five AA steps, step one through five, and how they connect very closely to what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about step 11, which basically says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand him. Praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And it really connects. It connects to me because that's how Jesus tells us to pray, right? And the Lord's Prayer is pretty much, we sought through this Lord's Prayer for his will for us and what he wants us to, what he wants us to do in our lives. So, Craig and I, a couple weeks ago, were talking about this book. We were doing our study. There's a study that goes along with it through recovery. And we were going over Matthew 6 and 7. And they basically talk about prayer and how it relates in our life. And one of the things that connected to me was I realized that sometimes I don't pray right. And I don't always pray, like, I'm going to read in a minute what it says, but I don't always pray for what I want. And the Bible strictly tells us if we want something, we should pray for it, right? And I used to think, well, I should pray for $1 million, right? Because God will give me $1 million. And that's not true, right? But I believe that if there's a good reason for what you need something for, and you are coming to him humbly and those kind of things, that God will give you more of what you need. And to me it relates to, and it talks a lot about how our Father in heaven, you know, my Father's not going to give me, if my Father had $1 million, he wasn't going to give me $1 million if he's a good Father, right? Because he knows that's going to spoil me and I'm not going to use it right and those kind of things. And so God, again, if he knows, he's doing what he believes for us. So we were talking all about that, and one of the things Emmett Fox says in this book is that he says, the whole Sermon on the Mount is about improving our conscious contact with our Father and his spiritual team, which we are all part of. However, some of his wonderful work is more direct. And we read Matthew 7:7-11. I'm going to read it for you now. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you is, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him, right? And we were talking about that. And so, side story, I'm going to talk to you a lot about stories. My boss, his last day was Friday. And it threw me a little bit because he's been a good boss. And I'm a little nervous about how things are going to go when he's not there. But one of the things that bothered me about him leaving was not just him leaving. It was that somebody sought him out for the job. He wasn't looking to go somewhere else. Somebody sought him out for the job. And I told my friend Craig, I said, nobody's ever done that for me before, right? Nobody's ever come to me and said, I have a job for you. Or nobody's ever come to me and said, look, we have this higher position. And we were talking about that and we prayed about it, right? About how can we, what for me, right? And it was basically for my feelings. Not about that somebody would necessarily give me a job or all those kind of things, but it was about how I was feeling about that. And again, answer to prayers, less than a day and a half later, I got a message through LinkedIn and a personal email from somebody, and I get those all the time, not the personal email piece, but I get LinkedIn things all the time saying, it'd be great for this job or something like that. It's, you know, usually some job in India or something like that. And I'm like, I discount those. This was for a job in Portland as a math teacher. And the personal email was even more, was like, I hope you reach out to me, because even if you're not interested in this job, you know, maybe we have something else for you. And it's less to me about the job than the fact that God was answering that prayer for me, right? So, and it hit me really hard. I messaged my friend Craig. I said, dude, the prayer, our prayer, whatever, you know, kind of thing. And it was, again, it got me, as I was putting this message together, I'm like, I've had that happen a lot in my life, right? It goes back to this, you know, if you ask me how I trust him, I've seen too much. I've seen some of this stuff. And I'm like, when Scott was talking about stories, I'm like, I have to share some of these stories. And I'm gonna do that a little bit today. All right. And I say too much sometimes when I speak. When I listen to myself after, I'm like, I don't think I say that much, but I do. So I apologize for all the ums. But so I've told, most of you guys have seen that I celebrated my sobriety date. I've got, as of August 8th, 27 years of recovery. Day at a time. I say that not for like the applause, and the applause is great. I say that so, you know, there's hope for people that are struggling also, but also there's a timeline that goes with this. I told you about Betty. Betty was a strong person in my life. Probably saved my life a lot when I was growing up, was somebody that was there, a strong person in my life. My grandmother was also one of those people. And she really taught me. I've told the story about how when I went to church at St. Hyacinth, she would drown out the pipe organ. She just sang and she could not carry a tune whatsoever. But she loved Jesus, right? It was one of those things. And she would pray for me all the time. Well, she passed away in 2002. So 1998, I got sober. I sort of came back to God in that, through the 12 steps, through doing that stuff. But there was a particular time when my grandmother passed away in 2002. I prayed for her. There was a night that I prayed for her. She was in the hospital. She was gonna pass away, basically. And I had moved in to take care of her into where she was living. And So now she's in the hospital. My sister was in the hospital with her, and I was back at home, you know, getting ready for bed. And the prayer I prayed, and this was probably at the time one of the most sincere prayers I've ever prayed. And most of the time, I think when we pray for people who are dying, we're like, please, you know, make them not pass away, right? You know, those kind of things. It's like, you know, let them live longer. And to me, that was somewhat selfish. She was like 93 or something. And I didn't want her to suffer anymore. And so my prayer really was, I remember being on my knees and I was praying and I said, Lord, just, you know, if it's your will, and I praised him for the time, you know, this is the the steps of what the Lord's Prayer tells us. I praised him for her, you know, being part of my life. And I just said, you know, I don't want her to suffer. And if it's your will, I said, you know, you're going to do what you want, but, you know, maybe take her kind of thing. And then I got in bed. And I will tell you that within like a minute to 2 minutes, I just felt this weird presence. And not that the curtains in my house wouldn't blow at the time, but they blew and I felt this presence. And then a peace, right? It was kind of like this peace. And all of a sudden the phone rang, my sister telling me my grandmother just passed away. And I was like, to me, you know, I don't know if that's all coincidence. I don't think it is. I really feel like that was her presence kind of telling me that, you know, it's done. I'm, you know, thank you. I'm kind of going off. And that to me was that answer to prayer. And from that moment, I realized that God would answer prayer for me if I sincerely asked and, you know, again, praised him. And that's, you know, what they, what Jesus tells us in the Bible. So from that moment on, it really became, you know, again, can I pray for what I want, what I need kind of thing? And what really benefits or what, you know, God wants for me, right? So that was 2002. And they tell you in AA, in recovery, that after 5 years of recovery, you get your marbles back. And then you have to learn to play with them. And so it's somewhat true, because in 5 years, you really start to learn who you are as a person who's not, you know, getting yourself messed up all the time. And I didn't have a relationship. I wanted a relationship. I will tell you, and before getting sober and in those 5 years, probably nobody would want a relationship with me at all anyway. So it was probably a good thing. But I started praying for a relationship, right? And Betty comes into this. Betty had moved up to Cornville, Maine, which is just outside of Skowhegan. I had went to her son's wedding. And I just told her, I said, I went alone. It was one of those things where it felt weird to go to a wedding alone. And I told her, I said, you know, I'm kind of looking for a relationship. I feel like I'm, you know, kind of ready to meet somebody and all that kind of stuff. And she said, well, I'll pray for you. Well, if anybody knows, Carolyn lives in Cornville, or lived in Cornville at the time. And I mentioned to somebody yesterday I was going to talk about my strays from Cornville. So this is kind of my strays from Cornville story. Carolyn was my first stray from Cornville that Betty found for me. So she prayed, and she said, I saw her. They lived down the street from me again growing up. And so I was out running one morning or one day, and she was down there visiting her daughter at that house, and she yelled out the window at me. She said, Roland, come up here. And I went up. She said, I have this girl that I want to, you know, set you up on a date with. And I'm like, oh, great. kind of thing. You know, I didn't fully trust God at the time, I guess. But I got Carolyn's information. We connected. And we set up a blind date. Now, Carolyn living up in, she lived north of Cornville at the time too, but, and I lived down here, and we decided to meet halfway. Well, we met in Augusta, and I always tell the funny story that Augusta's not halfway. It's further for me, and that's been our life story ever since, is that I've had to go a little further than Carolyn has had to go in our relationship. And we like to joke with each other, so we're all good with that, but So I'm driving up on this blind date, right? And I'm nervous, and every exit I'm like, well, I could just turn off this exit and go back home and, you know, say I couldn't show up or something happened and all this kind of stuff. I'm really, really nervous. And I said a prayer. I said, Lord, if, you know, this is what you want for me, or you know, I don't remember the exact prayer, but if this is what you want for me and this is, you know, whatever, take care of these nerves that I have and, you know, and help me with that. And I have not heard this song on the radio prior, and I don't think I've ever heard this song on the radio since. Probably has been, but I haven't heard it. The next song that came on the radio in answer to this prayer, I believe, was a song by James Taylor called The Secret of Life. And, you know, the song goes, "The secret of life is enjoying the passage of time. Any fool can do it. There ain't nothing to it. Nobody knows how we got to the top of the hill, but since we're on our way down, we might as well enjoy the ride." Verse 2 says, "The secret of love is in opening up your heart. It's okay to feel afraid, but don't let that stand in your way, because anyone knows that love is the only road. And since we're only here for a while, we might as well show some style." God talking? I think so. I mean, it was the next song, and I don't know if it was or not. Somebody's playing a big, big joke on me if it isn't. But I really believe that it was God talking. And I felt, again, that peace, that calm, that was okay. And I went, and I was actually, I'm not a suave guy for the most part, but I feel like on our first date, Carolyn, I was pretty suave, and I was listening to her, and... Yeah, since then, you know, so. But it wasn't, it turned out to not be about me. And when I was nervous and scared and all that kind of stuff, that was about me. And I was able to turn it around and say, you know, it isn't about me. It's about this connection we're going to, you know, make. And that was, what, 21-something years ago? 22 years ago. So, I don't know, God working in my life. So that was the first of my strays that I collected from home. And I joke about this, but it's, I mean, what a huge blessing. My second story related to strays from Cornville. This was actually a stray. So, and again, God working. So Betty's daughter was, she was living in Buxton at the time, and they were moving like across the country. And they had this cat that I loved to death. It was this great cat. And whenever I'd show up at their house, this cat would come running to see me, right? It was great cat. When they were moving, they said, "Roland, do you want, I can't even remember the cat's name at this point, but do you want this cat?" And I said, "No, I can't take a cat right now." But, you know, it was, we had new furniture and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, I'm not taking a cat into our house. We had a bird, I think. We still had Sebastian at the time. And I'm like, I can't get a cat in my house right now. But I love this cat. It was a great cat. Further down the road, I was talking to her, and she said, you guys need to have a cat, right? And I said, look, trying to get her off my case, right? I said, if you can find me a cat, because the cat that they wanted to give me was all white with a little black spot on its head. I told her, I said, if you can find me a kitten that looks exactly like that cat, like is all white with a little black spot on its head, I will name it Abednego, because it would remind me of being in the fire, right? Because they come out all white and maybe a little spot on the head. Would remind me that it had been in the fire. I'll call it Abednego. She's like, oh, okay. You know, I'm like, how is she ever going to find a cat, a kitten that looks like that, right? Literally, she went home and prayed about it. This was probably a Saturday, I think. Carolyn wanted a cat too. Carolyn grew up with cats. I was more of a dog person, but she went home on Saturday and prayed about it. Sunday morning, she goes to church, and this woman comes up to her, a friend of hers at church, and says, "Betty, do you know anybody who wants a cat?" And Betty said, "By any chance, what do these cats look like?" She said, "Well, one is all black with a little white spot on his head. She said, but the other one is all white with a black spot on its head. And you know the end of the story there. You know, she called us up and said, I found your cat. Or better, God found the cat for you or whatever. I don't know what exactly she said. But I'm still like, I don't know if I want a cat, right? But I'm like, God, you know, apparently is mixed up in this and found this cat for us. So he's now 13. He's actually, I love cats. Now he's more like a dog, the perfect cat for me. Greets me when I come in the door and all those kind of things. So even though I didn't want a cat, God thought it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to move on, or I'm gonna turn off the sound.
Am I running? Oh, my cats! Yeah,
yeah,
he's my buddy. So, and God gave him to me as my buddy, I think. So maybe, and you know, and also. So that was my real stray that now made me call Carolyn my second stray. So, Daniela will be upset because I call her my third stray, but she's kind of, you know, related to that in some ways, only because she came. But I will tell you, prayer had a big part in Daniela. So we waited about 10 years for Daniela to come. We wanted a child right away, and we waited a long time, almost 10, maybe 11 years. We were praying the whole time. We wanted a child, all this kind of stuff. Just wasn't happening. Of course, a lot of my prayers I realize now were, God, why aren't you doing this for us, right? And why would God answer that prayer, I think, right? As I look back now, I'm like, you know, I was kind of angry that God wasn't answering. I'm like, we're Christians, all that kind of stuff. That was the other thing that, you know, bringing Carolyn into my life really now grew my spirituality, my Christianity. She got me back into going to church regularly. But I'm like, God, why, you know, aren't you, you know, answering this prayer? And about the 11th year or so, we were going to a church here, another church here in Westbrook, and we were having a vacation Bible school. And we were praying about, part of it was, we didn't have a lot of children at the church at the time, and we're like, let's put on a vacation Bible school and we'll try to, you know, get children to come. And so we were praying. I mean, I was on the elders team and we were all in this meeting praying for vacation Bible school, and we were praying for children to come into our church. Well, I thought it was like, you know, the neighbor's kids and all that kind of stuff. Apparently it was not the neighbor's kids that we were necessarily praying for, because we probably got pregnant not too long after that prayer meeting. I doing the math kind of thing, it's like, you know, God's like, okay, here's a child for your church. And so again, I just feel like God has been answering those prayers. So how can I not trust him, right? So now I've got these three strays living with me. Blessing in my life. And all because of prayer, right? I said if I had time, I was going to share a little story not related to that, because it's kind of timely. I told Josh I would share it yesterday if I had time. About answered prayers, right? East Beacon was not too long ago, and Josh Rand did an awesome job. I don't know if I've ever shared with you guys how competitive of a runner I was, like, years and years ago. I know I don't look like that now, but I used to run really fast. And so first year I ran the Beast to Beacon, I think I ran like 37 minutes. I looked it up, because it just kind of gives perspective on where my attitude went. When I got sober, that was before I got sober. When I got sober, running meant less to me, and so I did less of it. It used to be my part of my way out, but there was this one year, and I don't know in particular what year it was, but I was out of shape. I still ran the Beast to Beacon. I was running, for me, what I felt like was an awful time. For most people, it was probably a decent time, but not relative to what I had done before. And so I'm beating myself up. I'm out there, you know, running and just kind of like, oh, this is, you know, just being very negative, down. And the piece de la resistance was right toward the finish line. I got passed by the entire Cape Elizabeth field hockey team. The entire Cape Elizabeth field hockey team. And so I was just like kicking things and just I was really just upset. I don't, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, where is, you know, why can't I run as fast as I used to? Kind of thing. And I knew, I, you know, that I shouldn't be feeling that way. And the funny part is I used to park at Cape Elizabeth High School, and then I would run back to my car, and so I had to get back to my car. And I'm upset, and I'm, you know, but I prayed. I said, God, you know, I shouldn't be feeling this way, and I need help with, you know, this negative attitude, right? I should be joyous, because I am a Christian, I'm a believer, I should be joyous in this, I should be doing whatever. And I'm walking and I'm praying as I'm walking back to my car. It's about kind of a mile and a half back to my car, I think, from the finish line. And as I'm walking, I'm seeing people's faces that are still finishing the race, right? So I gotta walk past them. And some of them had joy on their face, and I'm watching them running, and I'm like, yeah, it's like, and there are still people behind me that finished behind me, and I'm like, why am I being so upset with myself? And I just keep walking, and I'm praying, and I'm like, God, just help me, right, with this bad attitude that I have. I get into my car. When I finally get to my car, turn on the car, there was a song that came on the radio. I truly believe through songs that God speaks to me in a lot of ways. And the song that came on was a song by Boston. The song was Peace of Mind. And I remember it instinctively because it was like, aha, God, thank you. I needed to hear that. And the lyrics basically go, I understand about indecision, but I don't care if I get behind. People living in competition, all I want is to have my peace of mind. And again, answer to prayer, it can't be, to me, that wasn't a coincidence. It was God speaking. And so, again, I started with, I've seen too much. And those are some of the things that I've seen that remind me how God's working. So I want to wrap it up a little bit with, I've been reading this book. I had been on the leadership team. I was on the leadership team last year. And now the president?
You are the president.
I'm the president of the leadership team. I know I'm a good leader because I don't want to be the president. And God calls, those kind of things. But and so I've been reading this book called Spiritual Leadership by J. Oswald Sanders. And I want to share a little bit about kind of what I've gotten from that about prayer. Because he does talk a little bit about prayer and that. He said, God has commanded prayer. And we can be confident that as we meet revealed conditions for prayer, answers will be granted. Well, there are revealed conditions for prayer, and that's that we are worshiping Him, that we come to Him humbly. I'm going to go over kind of what the Lord's Prayer tells us about those things. And this is what really got me, that, you know, the goal of prayer is the ear of God, that we are really speaking to God, and we want Him to hear us, and He does hear us. And so, but when we do that, we should be knowing, not that I want something, but that we should be, the whole idea should be that we're trying to get His ear, we're reaching to Him. He is, means more to us than anything, and we want to do His will and what He asks us to do. And so I love that. The goal of prayer is the ear of God. And then he shared in the book, he said, prevailing prayer that moves people is the outcome of a right relationship with God. Says the Bible is very clear on the reasons why prayers go unanswered, and every reason centers on the believer's relationship with God. He says God will not cooperate with prayers of mere self-interest, or prayers that come from impure motives. The Christian who clings to sin closes the ear of God. So if we're still sinning and actively sinning and not trying to do something with that, that's the key, I think, to me, is that we all sin, but if we're not trying to work on those things, that he's not going to hear us as well. And least of all will God tolerate unbelief, which is the chief of sins. And in Hebrews it says, anyone who comes to him must believe. So in all our prayers, again, the paramount motive is the glory of God. The pattern of the Lord's Prayer, and this is kind of, again, how should we pray? And I believe that all those prayers that were answered for me that I've shared all follow this pattern, because, you know, I think these should be included. So the first one, you know, the Lord's Prayer says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we really should be focusing on worship. I try to start out my prayers with those things. It's like, you know, God, you are great. You know, sharing that we trust in him. We worship him and we praise him. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I used to, when I was younger, I would brush by the will. I focus on the will now when I say the Lord's Prayer. We say it a lot of times in recovery meetings, and I focus on that will part, because I want his will for me. I don't want my will. My will gets me in trouble all the time. And so I need to trust him. But that's, you know, again, going to God's will and God's kingdom. Give us this day our daily bread. That is asking for provision, right? And that's provision. That's not up and above that. That's not the $1 million stuff, but at least give me what I need today. And, you know, we should trust him for that. We should ask him for that. We should trust him for that. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And that speaks to forgiveness. So we should ask for forgiveness, because I do things. I'm not perfect. Carolyn can attest to that. So, I, and most of you can attest to that too. I'm pretty vocal about what I do wrong when I do it wrong, but we should ask for forgiveness from others, and we should forgive others, right? There are a lot of people in our lives that, we need to forgive. And I try to do that in my life as much as I can. It's some of that's harder than, some people are harder than others to forgive, but, we really should come to God seeking that forgiveness. And finally, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So that really speaks about guidance and protection. I think we really need to ask for those things. Yesterday when I was speaking this, you know, giving that prayer about what's my message, I know that when I get up here, the enemy's looking, I sometimes feel like I have this, you know, bullseye on my back sometimes. Things come up that throw me off. I was writing this message, and I usually try, when I'm speaking on Sunday, I usually try to have the message mostly finished by Thursday. We were really busy Thursday. I had a graduation of, you know, the kids I work with, and Daniela had stuff at school, and then I'm like, well, I'll just do it Friday. Well, Friday, Carolyn had a really rough day, and I had a strong reaction to that. I couldn't put it in my head to get this message done. But I knew, because of those things, there's probably a good reason why I need to give this message, right? It's one of those things that God's really pushing me to do. So, again, wrapping it up a little bit, I think I just wanted to share a little of those stories. I hope most of you got something from them. Carolyn about being astray. Don't kid Daniela, because she will give me a hard time. But yes, and Scott's coming up to say something.
The stray thing. Isn't it the strays that come into your yard? You're the one who drove more than an hour to go into her yard. I think we might have the stray in the wrong category here. He's in the wrong category.
I think he was a stray too. Yeah.
I will admit to being I can be astray at times too.
So well, yes. We appreciate your last time speaking to us. This is a sermon that involved a cat.
I did tell you I wasn't sure if being a, you know, you'd still want me as your church board president after I spoke today.
Don't so. Bring a Bendigo, I'll sneeze.
You'll stay at home with that.
Why don't, the only other thing to say, guys, is remember the baptism coming up on September 14th. And really, honestly, just pray about it. Pray. Lord, it's just something that you would have me do. In Scripture, it shows us this beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture that the Lord gives us of us going under the water, representing all going with all our sin, and then being resurrected with Christ without that sin to new life. It's not a magical rite. It's not anything like that. It doesn't guarantee your salvation. That comes through Christ. But it's an awesome thing to do, and Scripture tells us to do it. So I encourage you to think about that and talk to me about that. You want to close in prayer since you have the mic?
I will close in prayer since I have the mic. Dear Lord, again, just I hope this message does what you want it to do, from my mouth to people's ears, but you are the one really doing the work. It all belongs to you, Lord, and we just trust you as we move forward through our day and through our week that, again, you will continue to use us and grow us and build us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.